in trying to dissect what's happening in the world of Donald Trump with relation to the CIA, I thought it would be really fascinating to sit down with the legendary investigative journalist Seymour Hersh, who, of course, is a Pulitzer Prize winner. He broke the story of the My Lai massacre during the war in Vietnam. He broke the Abu Ghraib torture story. He did several hard-hitting investigative pieces when the Bush administration came into power about the way that they were expanding assassination operations. And for those of you who are not entirely familiar with Cy Hersh's career, in the 1970s, when Gerald Ford was president, after the impeachment and then resignation of Richard Nixon, Cy Hersh, who at the time was a reporter for the New York Times, had revealed the fact that the CIA was operating domestically and was engaged in illegal spying. And Dick Cheney, while he was in the Ford administration in the 1970s, tried to get the FBI to go after Cy Hersh. In fact, he wanted Cy Hersh to be indicted for espionage. Sound familiar? We are now in a situation where we just had a Democratic president who presided over a war on whistleblowers, which in many ways is a war against a free press, where the charge of espionage was used to go after people who were whistleblowers. Well, this week, I went over to Cy's house, and we sat down in his kitchen. And it wasn't so much an interview. It was more that I wanted to shoot the shit with this incredible veteran reporter who has faced down against authoritarian administrations before in what is really a conversation between two journalists. I began by asking Cy to give me his assessment of what Trump's election and his emerging administration, what we should make of it.
I can play it. I can play high end or low end. Let me give you the high end. He's a circuit breaker. You know, here we are. We've got, we've had, I think you can say, for the past three or four decades, the oligarchs have been running everything. And these guys are simply cutting out the middlemen, those little greedy congressmen and senators with who want their hands out. So they're just cutting out the middlemen. And he's naming people to cabinet jobs that have one thing in common. They're all very, very rich, you know, multimillionaires. This is, they're dumb, their career is over. They're not using they're not going to use the cabinet job they have to run for president for or run for anything for. So this, they're in a way, there's no reason for them to disagree with the boss. I mean, not to disagree with the boss. They have nothing to lose. You could argue that, and that he might have a new relationship with Putin. That's the high end. I think increasingly, as you look at it, I mean, that's not going to be the reality. But the idea of somebody, you know, breaking things away and raising grave doubts about the viability of the party system, particularly the Democratic Party, not a bad idea. And that's something we can build on that in the future, but we have to figure out what to do in the next few years. So there's a high-end thing where you can say he's such an outlier that who knows what's going to happen. And then you can do the other side, you know. I won't tell you what history, you know, you have to go back into the 30s. You know, the first thing you do is destroy the media. And what he can do, he's going to intimidate them. And then once you do the media, and there's going to be, I can tell you my friends on the inside have already told me there's going to be a major increase in surveillance. If you don't have signal, you better get signal. If you don't have one of those devices that makes it very difficult for people to track you when you're
talking about the end-to-end encrypted apps like Signal. And
yeah, well, Signal's one of the better ones they really can't do much with. I mean, it's Snowden's means of communication. And so there's also devices you can get that prevent you from being tracked. And there's also devices that can detect malware. So all that's, there's a downside to it. I understand that they're going to be doing some purging. People on the inside who are suspect. And I'm more than just suspect left, suspect as being Islamist. I mean, really far out stuff, really. There's stuff like that going on. I don't think the notion of democracy is ever going to be as tested as it's going to be now.
Well, and you know, Trump on the day after his inauguration goes to the CIA and gives that speech in front of the wall of the stars of the fallen agents. What did you make of him? Well, and he was mostly obsessed with the size of his crowd, but what did you make of that first meeting, official meeting at the CIA?
I can't begin to tell you. Well, he's obviously going to remake the CIA. And he's got some basis for thinking that there was, I don't want to get into too much about what I'm reporting, but I can tell you the case about Russian. There is a much simpler explanation for what happened.
The real thing I wanted to ask you about here is, does Trump have a point when he says that these were leaks intended to undermine his credibility and damage him that came sure. from the CIA or other parts of the intelligence community?
No question. I mean, you see Brennan is speaking out, even now that he's out of office, still speaking out. And you know, that's sort of we've never seen that before.
So, well, Brennan's primary line, primary thing that he claims he's speaking out about is Trump's use of the word Nazis to describe people in the intelligence community.
But before that, he was speaking out. But, the road is open for alternative journalism in a way that it hasn't been in a long time, because my view of what the way the major media treated the thing with the Russian thing and the Putin wiretap and the hacking is they were hectoring. They were just using it to hector. Hector, they didn't do reporting. And the real story was the extent to which the White House was going and permitting this kind of stuff to go and permitting the agency to go public with assessments that there were assessments. What does an assessment mean? It's not a national intelligence estimate. If you had a real estimate, you would have had five or six dissents, people saying, because I can tell you right now, at one time they said 17 agencies all agreed. Oh, really? The Coast Guard and the Air Force, they all agreed on that? And it was outrageous. And nobody did that story.
Well, even in their own summary that they released, the NSA's level of confidence, as reported in that, was a full degree lower than that of Clapper and his crowd. And on what issue?
An assessment is simply an opinion. It's not, if they had a fact, they'd give you an assessment is just that, it's a belief.
Well, I mean, how do you think journalists should be operating right now, given the fact that the first White House press briefing by Sean Spicer, no questions allowed, leaves the room, and the fact that they're talking about ejecting them from the White House, sticking them in the old executive building, but also just the open fuck you to the press that we hear every single day.
You know, it's interesting because the press is an easy target. We always are. Everybody wants to hate us, like lawyers, all the lawyer jokes. But the truth is, and this is a campaign theme he had about the press, and there is a significant percentage of the people don't want to believe the press. But the truth is, the First Amendment is an amazing thing. And if you start trampling the way they, I hope they don't do it that way. I should be very counterproductive. He'll be in trouble.
What do you make of what we know about the emerging relationship between Trump and the CIA, based on who he has around him, the kinds of policies that they've advocated, and the personality we see, Trump embody? What is Trump's CIA going to look like?
Well, of course, who knows? I mean, anybody, the real answer is, how in hell do I know? But,
Well, but let's remember, too, Trump said, I love waterboarding. He wants to stuff Guantanamo back up again.
Right.
Is that just a reality TV showman saying these things?
I don't know. He also said he was going to do this on his first day in office. He didn't do it. I don't know. Look, we had a Democratic president for 8 years that couldn't, every day. He did what? He escalated in Afghanistan? Again, you say, how are we doing there? How's it going? How's the war on terror going now since we started? How's it been going for 16 years? Are there fewer opposition guys? How's it going? He may surprise us and look at it and say, whoa, but I don't think so. But you got to give him, I'm willing to look at it because, as I said, circuit breaker is the word. We've never had anything like this before. But I wish you were a little different.
Well, I've always thought that there will come a point where Trump will decide, I'm going to hand the running of the White House over to my sons, and I'm going to go back to doing the... I'm not even sure the guy understands anything about the Constitution, but I do think that both the combination of Pence's record and Trump, what we see as Trump's nature, I think you're right to say we don't know what the fuck's going to happen, but... We've seen some pretty bad indicators from the telegraphing here that Trump does seem to want to bring back some of the worst components of the Bush-Cheney apparatus, combined with the fact that Mr. Transformative Nobel Peace Prize winning constitutional law scholar Obama basically sold liberals on the idea that we can whack people around the world, that drones are good, that we can engage in all of these little twilight wars, covert operations. Obama cleaned up a lot of the Cheney doctrine for his own people.
How dare you attack him? How dare you? You're right about him. The Foreign Service, he did not change the basic structure. He didn't get rid of what I think this 2 days in the office, his first executive action was to say, I'm going to shut down Guantanamo.
But I do think that it's possible Trump will try to transfer some of the people that Obama had prosecuted through the civil court system in this country on terrorism charges down to Gitmo. And I'm hearing that concern from the lawyers that represent prisoners at Gitmo.
What are we doing in this country? What the hell? Where are we going? I don't know.
I mean, it's
look, it's good for you. You're intensely involved in a news service that's going to get much more attention now. I'm watching it more and more and more and more, and I'm not alone. It's good for you guys. Don't knock it. You know, a little adversity, a little end of a democracy, you know, and communicate with Signal. That's all.
But I do. I mean, I will. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I also I am really concerned about this surveillance stuff. I'm concerned that there's a.
That's the word. That's the word I was hoping you would bring up. That's
surveillance.
Yes, that's going to be the real issue.
Well, I mean,
don't go over the top. Doesn't mean you don't do what you do.
No.
But that's the word.
What I'm saying though is that just to give you an example, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. We focus a lot on the NSA and the NSA's collection abilities, the ability to get into people's data, their phones, their computers, et cetera. Even now our smart appliances, your refrigerator, what have you. The DEA, for instance, Drug Enforcement Agency, is one of the most pathological violators of privacy and flagrant violation of the law. And the Constitution. These guys don't care about warrants, et cetera. They'll use stuff that's supposed to be all close held, no access for use in domestic operations. DEA forever has been tapping into systems that are meant for foreign espionage stuff, have nothing to do with what they're doing inside the U.S. or even outside of the U.S. in some cases. With someone like Trump, though, at the helm, you know, Obama allowed so much of this stuff to go on, maybe permitted or authorized some of it, maybe just looked the other way. But with Trump and some of the people that he has and his really thin-skinned ability to respond to criticism or to take criticism, I'm concerned that they're going to use this stuff as a domestic weapon, the surveillance stuff as a domestic weapon. I mean, look, I know I mentioned it in the book Blackwater about what the FBI and CIA wanted to do to you, breaking it, going after you, fabricating stuff, breaking in. Our phones, our computers are the digital equivalent of breaking into your files now. Except not all of your medical records and everything else are on that, and your texts with your girlfriend or whoever.
Well, to that, I normally would say boo-hoo. Okay, that's the price of life. Hold on a second. I'll match you, though. I'll tell you one. I have reason to believe that when Gonzalez was Attorney General.
Alberto Gonzalez.
Yes, in 2005, maybe for a year or two. There were cases in which there was tough cases of people we didn't like, people we thought that could maybe having some connection to a money ring, you know, theoretically drugs or terrorism, and they didn't have the case. And so NSA has everything. And so there were cases in which they went hunting. They got the NSA to pull out some months worth of Gmails or phone conversations of a guy that they're trying to indict. And they found a conversation. They went to the person that had the conversation, pretended they had a confidential informant. This is what DEA does all the time. I had a confidential informant.
They call it parallel construction.
And turned a witness that they didn't have until they went and looked at it. Now there you're really talking. Then we can have the Fourth Amendment violation. We got the first. Now we're talking about the Fifth Amendment, the right to self-defense. Zowie. So anything's possible. So we're in a new world. It's a new paradigm, I guess, you know, but.
Well, they use it like a time. I mean, what you're saying, and this is something that we've seen borne out, not just in the Snowden docs, but also from people who've worked on these programs, the passive collection of all this data you know, the vast majority of people, no one's ever going to look at that. No one even care. No one's going to care what phone call you had or email you had. When you show up on the radar of the right person or wrong person, depending on how you look at it, they can go back and it's like a time machine.
Well, we know that.
Right. So with Obama, we saw how that was used globally. Within the United States, the combination of that platform with what we see of Trump's personality, I'm just saying I'm concerned that we're going to see a sort of modern version of you know, the enemies list that Nixon you know, had running and Hoover type shit.
But maybe it's, you know, look, I'm not Little Mary Sunshine. This is not a Little Mary Sunshine conversation. But Trump also feels victimized by leaks and secondhand that stuff about him and the hotels and, you know, that stuff that, you know, whether
the golden shower,
whatever stuff, that stuff. Yeah. He must feel very victimized by that sign of security. And, you know, there's nothing like somebody who's been victimized by maybe there's a chance he won't want it. Why not?
Him personally, Cy? Okay, maybe. Look, he's got some gangsters that are going to become very prominent in the corridors of some of these intelligence agencies.
Was anybody more of a gangster than some of the leading people who conducted the wars we had? We had gangsters all of our life in our society, and some of them were senators, and some of them were, you know, secretaries of defense. Were some murderous people. So I'm not making a case. I'm just saying. I hear what you're saying. I worry. I'm really worried. I have to be really worried. I was joking. You know, I was joking, saying that, you know, that all the marches in the world aren't going to move him out of office. But let's just see. I mean,
boredom might, though.
Well, let's just see. Yeah. Let's just see. You never know. You never know about things. And there's some things.
Look, I would love to be wrong about all of this stuff.
Well, I don't have to be wrong. Just be wrong about a few things that you know, that just be wrong about that he may see the world in a business sense. And look, God, I was appalled by the appointments on the cabinet. Just appalled. I mean, what? But you don't know. I mean, you don't know. I mean, there's not much. I don't think.
But what's your advice to journalists? What should journalists be doing during this time? I don't mean me. I just mean in general. Like, what do you think the news organizations? You said before, you get up and fucking, you know, leave the room. How should journalists cover this administration?
They're not going to do that.
I know they won't. But how do you think journalists should cover this administration?
They should not let them bully them. They should not be bullied by a press secretary who behaves so egregiously in a way that's so contumacious as he did. They should not accept it. They should not accept it. They should make it plain. And if he wants to send them off to the executive office building or into the State Department or on the street, just go. And minimize the reporting, except be there to nail everything he does that doesn't live up to his own words. You still have the press. He's not going to take the press away from you.
Well, he'll just go out. He goes on Twitter and just says it's all lies. And he could be sitting in the room with us and say we're actually sitting on a spaceship on Mars right now. And you and I say no, we're sitting in Cy Hirsch's house. And he would say no, you're not. And we say, well, we're videotaping this. Everyone's going to see it. And he would say, well, that's fake news.
But they do enough about it. The press, the trouble is, he's got, you know, we've got a different press these days, and it's changed so much.
But don't you think that we've crossed some sort of we have crossed into some different dimension now with the sort of post-truth?
Yeah. And so I think we might see better reporting. As I said, it's going to be good for opposition. Most people, I think there's going to be more political activism. I think the Democratic Party, I just hope it doesn't blow up. And, you know, if they stick to the old way, they're going to blow it up. And then you're going to make it easier for Republicans. You don't want to split right now. Isn't that terrible?
You don't smell a whiff of fascism right now?
What do you mean, whiff? When you attack the press the way they are attacking, I just don't know if there's the
acumen. Well, I'm trying to reconcile what you saying, oh, I don't know if it might not be that bad. I mean, I get it. It's responsible to say you don't know what's going to happen yet. Well,
but I'm saying also this. But
I mean, he overtly has a pretty authoritarian fascist.
But no, his attack on the press is straight out of you know, it's the National Socialism. But do I think he knows that? Do I think he knows the history? No, I don't think so. I don't think he knows. You know, he's not dumb. He's not a dumb man, but I don't think he's at all interested in learning anything. It's not clear he's learned anything since he's even been. I mean, the speech he gave at the inauguration was bereft of any sign. It was lame. It was not. It was a. It was And the words, you know, we're talking about a 7th, 8th grade level here. I mean, you know, but plain words. No, that's okay. Yeah. Plain words. Lincoln used plain words. Yeah, yeah. Lincoln was very, you know, you didn't get him into a sophisticated.
But this business of immediately we take off the women's page, the LGBTQ page, the climate page, we shut down the Interior Department, shut down these Twitter accounts.
Jeremy, let's let it happen. That's all I can say.
I'm trying to not let it happen.
But you can't stop it. But let's just see. That's all I say. Let's just see.
But who's ear? Who do you think has his ear? Steve Bannon, Flynn, Mattis? I mean, no.
Well, I'll tell you one person who doesn't. It's the chief of staff. I mean, he's not going to know what's going on. But that's probably not so unusual. Look, I'm just not ready to say. I'm not ready to say. You know, the roof is. You know, I'm not crying yet. I'm not going. I do know. The big worry would be surveillance for me, not personally, because I don't, you know, I do.
Surveillance of who?
Surveillance of just general increase, dramatic increase in domestic surveillance, a dramatic increase, and continuing to single out Muslims, which is crazy, and continuing to talk about a war. I just want to see what happens. Don't start letting your worry about tomorrow affect what you write today. That's all. It's, you know. So there's a lot out there. So I think the alternative media is going to have a little bit of a wave and be more important in the next 3-4 years. Because I just don't think the major papers are up to it. I just don't see. I didn't see it. I didn't see what they did. The way they behaved on the Russian stuff was outrageous. They all just ran for briefings, and they all. I'm talking about in the news pages, and they really were. And Trump absolutely. I'm sorry to tell you, he has a case. They were just so willing to believe stuff. And instead of when the heads of intelligence give them that 2-page summary of the stuff that the allegations, instead of attacking the CIA for doing that, which is what I would have done, my story is, are you kidding me? They're taking it to a guy who's going to be president in a couple of days. They're giving him this kind of stuff, and they think that this is somehow going to make the world better. It's going to make him go nuts. Would make me go nuts. So I look at it that way. You know, maybe it isn't that hard to make them go nuts. You know,
but this is sort of what I was talking about earlier. It's that there was this incredible, it's almost like sea monkeys, you know, those things you put them in as powder and then they turn into these little things. It's like all of a sudden CIA is the greatest thing in the world. And how dare you question the pronouncements of the CIA?
There you go.
This is coming from the Democrats, from MSNBC. It's like, you know, all of a sudden, there was no Iraq war. There's no lying. There's no history of the CIA. It's just, these are our brave spies that are keeping us safe from Russia.
And I would have made I would have made Brennan into a buffoon, a yapping buffoon in the last few days. Instead, everything is reported seriously. So there's a lot of, you know, it's not so easy. You know, I mean, you know, you got a hothead as president who doesn't think through. And so let's just see. You know, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you about the need. I just think from your point of view, and I know this is what we're talking about. You know, this is all manna. It just means that, you know, you guys have to do more of it, and more people will pay attention to you, and more people will take it seriously. All right, listen, we've been doing this for three days.
All right, well, you know, have fun moving back to Russia. Thanks, Cy.
Goodbye.
That was the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Cy Hirsch. We were talking in the kitchen of his home in Washington, D.C.